Welcome to Casterbras. I'm Christian Corley, and you're listening to a podcast that first hit the podwaves, which we don't call them, in 2007. This show has been running for 17 years. My name's Christian Corley. Often, I'm joined by James McLean. Not this week, but we've got some more recordings planned for over the next few weeks. But what I've got for you today is a collection of the latest news in the world of television, film, and cult stuff, and games, and music, along the same sort of lines, of stuff that I'm broadly interested in, and figure that, well, you listen to me talk about other things, maybe you'd be interested in those, in these things as well. I'd like to thank everyone who listened to the Box of Delights podcast and interview with Chris Chapman, the producer of the DVD extras on there. I'm really looking forward to unwrapping that present on Christmas morning of the new 40th anniversary edition, although I am watching the show on DVD from the previous release with my youngest daughter at the moment, and she's really, really into it, so that's going well. I think it's the whole Christmas atmosphere, and maybe my theory bears out there, but we shall see. So this week we've got a bit of Star Wars, we've got a bit of Star Trek, we've got a bit of music news, and of course a look at the new Doctor Who trailer for the Christmas special as well. Let's go first with, now I didn't know this was coming so quickly, Skeleton Crew, the new Star Wars TV show on Disney Plus. It takes place in the same time frame as a Mandalorian series, and so it's set after Return of the Jedi. It stars Jude Law, and Nick Frost is also in there, and some young actors, Ravi Cabo Conyers, Ryan Kira Armstrong, Kiriana Crater, and Robert Timothy Smith is in there as well. And it's described as a coming-of-age story set in the Star Wars universe. There's clearly some attempt at a sort of Stranger Things vibe with this serial. And the first two episodes have gone live on Disney Plus, and it's got a good initial ratings. The reaction to it has been good so far. It looks right in terms of visual tone, etc. It doesn't feel, based on the trailer and a scant watch of the first episode, it doesn't try to be doing more than it can or trying to be something that it isn't. And that's probably, there's this authenticity to it, it's possibly why people are reviewing it well. It's been compared to The Goonies, for example. Not one of my favourite movies, but I know why people like it. So, yeah, so that's the first episodes of that have gone out. The reviews to Star Wars Skeleton Crew are good. IMDb rating is 7.2 out of 10 already. It's got a high popularity score of 145. I think it's going to, as long as it heads towards a good ending, I think this could be quite the thing for Star Wars fans. And it's a new, we were talking about, James and myself, in a recent podcast about how Star Wars needs to try doing something new. This is something new for Star Wars. Nothing in Star Wars has ever been done like this. And no, we're not going near Caravan of Courage, okay? Forget the droids TV series. This is something new for the Star Wars universe, on film at least. So I'm intrigued to see how this turns out at the end of the run. Now, it isn't uncommon for us to mention Kickstarter projects, just as it isn't uncommon for us to welcome Gareth Cavanagh onto the podcast. Now, he's not here this week, but a new project that he is producing has launched on Kickstarter a few days ago. It has 21 days to go at the time I'm recording this, and it's already gone over the £10,000 goal. This is The Time Team Unearthed, subtitled The Doctor Who Art of Agent Salmon. This is basically a collection of artwork from Doctor Who magazine by Agent Salmon for articles in the Time Team series when four fans watched Doctor Who from beginning to end. These pieces of art appeared in over 100 issues between 1999 and 2009. And this collection is being brought together by Will Brooks and Gareth Cavanagh, and of course by Agent Salmon himself. So this is really worth checking out. if you can get over to the Kickstarter page, which I'll share in the show notes, there's various rewards you can get with this. A 24-page A5 sketchbook, a set of 8 A4 prints, one for each classic doctor, a set of 50 A6 postcards featuring the best classic stories, an A2 poster of all new book cover artwork, and an A1 poster featuring all 156 classic Doctor Who stories. The 10 backers at the top tier will receive original inked artwork for one of the new illustrations created especially for the book, and backers at the top tier will also have a unique cover to their copy of the hardback. This is marvellous, isn't it? It's a great collection. And just crack open the list of available rewards. Now, you can back it for, you know, a pledge without a reward. You can get a softback edition for £30. Hardcover edition is £50. Pencil sketch stage, £100. Freshly inked stage, pledge £150. Full colour, £350. And each of those, you know, scale up to the options that I just mentioned to you. However, the full colour stage, that's the 10, they've gone. They have all gone. Which is highly surprised, given that the project has hit fulfillment within hours of going live. So keep an eye out for that. It looks awesome. There is a trailer on the page as well that you can check out. Now, on the topic of merchandise, it's probably a good idea for me to mention to you Star Trek Adventures 2nd Edition Starter Set role-playing game has been confirmed for release shortly. Shipping is expected to begin late December 24. The Star Trek Adventures role-playing game takes you to the final frontier, to the edges of known space, to colonies in need, to the borders of neighbouring galactic powers, or into the eye of interstellar phenomena. This is a new edition of a game book that was released back in August 2017, and this has the everything that you need is included in the starter set. It has a 48-page booklet. It has a 60-page booklet containing the campaign. You get ship sheet and character sheets and all the other stuff, and 5 20-sided dice. £24, that's fantastic value. And I think you, if your Christmas is something that consists of getting together with friends and playing tabletop games and role-play games, then this is something that you will probably be looking out for. Something that you will probably have some interest in. It is shipping this month. It should be along very soon. You can order it via the link in the show notes on the Modiphius website, and it specifically says stock coming soon. So that should be something that is along for you to buy very soon indeed. Now, books like this is the sort of thing that you might have once found in comic shops, as well as more widely known places like Forbidden Planet chains. But independent comic shops might have included some top-tier tabletop and RPG game books. We've learned that the Mega City comic shop in London is set to close unless a buyer can be found. Launched in 1981 and has been operating from the Camden Town Shop since 1987. It's been running for 43 years, therefore, and its owner, Martin Kravitz, is taking retirement and closing the shop in January 2025. They had hoped to pass it on to a new owner, but no suitable buyer has emerged. So that's very sad news, because that was a very interesting place. That was one of the places for comic fans that you'd look to go to on a trip to London. For those of us in smaller parts of the country that didn't have dedicated comic shops, you know, that was a great place to head to. So, yeah, that is a shame. It's going to be closing in mid-January. It's obviously closed over Christmas. In January, there will be a final clearance sale. So that is very sad news. Okay, is that part of the episode that you've probably been looking out for? It is the official trailer for Doctor Who's 2024 Christmas special.
Is this Christmas?
Yes, we're doing a special Christmas everywhere all at once.
Oh, God.
Ham and cheese toastie and a pumpkin latte.
Who are you?
Wrong room.
We are on a top secret mission.
What?
Who are you then?
Joy.
Top name Joy?
Thanks.
To be you.
You'll find out.
Who are you?
You'll find out.
What do I do? Where do I go?
We'll find out.
Oh, do you see? You have to be mysterious all the time. That's why everyone leaves you. That is why you were always alone.
Our promise is to keep.
We can do this.
What's the biggest mystery in the known universe?
I'm on the case.
So there you go. That was the Disney Plus version of the trailer, I should add. Joy to the World, suitable name, introduces a new character called Joy, in case you didn't know, and written by Stephen Moffat, who seems to be emerging as the most popular writer in the Russell T Davies era of Doctor Who. We're in a time loop. So yes, and this is the first episode of the second series of the Shu-T'Gatwa era of Doctor Who. At this stage, we obviously don't know when the rest of the 15th series of Doctor Who will be released on BBC One or on Disney Plus, but it's expected to be at some point in 2025. There is a suspicion that it'll be the second half of 2025, but typically Russell T Davies shows have aired in the first half of the year, from 2005 through to 2010, and again this year, so who knows. Now, no doubt we will be talking about Joy to the World after it has aired, because that's kind of what we do at our very base level, is review episodes of Doctor Who. So if you're listening to this on Patreon, hello, you got this early, you got it ad free and you got it standard length, but other episodes may be a bit longer. And if you are one of our Patreon listeners, then I would really encourage you to share these benefits with your friends and network, your group of fans and friends and, you know, whatever. Share the fact that you can get this podcast early, ad-free, and occasionally a bit longer or with extra episodes on Patreon at patreon.com/Casterbras. This is, of course, the only way to enter competitions that we're running. We're currently running a giveaway for Red Dwarf Discovering the TV Series, which follows our interview with Tom Selinski a few weeks ago. That giveaway is ending in 2 days' time, on the 22nd of November. So let people know that they can enter that competition by joining. Our Patreon is free. We have paid tiers, but that doesn't give you any extra podcasts. It just gives you a couple of interesting enhancements. And we'd really like more and more people to be on Patreon so we can communicate information more easily, rather than, you know, Facebook, which is very busy, Twitter/X, or any of its alternatives, which are very kind of easy to miss updates on. Patreon is our new home in many ways. So if you can get your friends and family who are interested in classic TV, classic movies, retro stuff, and Doctor Who, of course, to come to us through Patreon, remember, it is free. It just needs an email address. You get a free sign up and you can then get the podcasts that way early. They'll be out a few days later on Spotify, Amazon, Apple Podcasts, etc. But the early ad-free version is only on Patreon. Okay, quick update on Film is Fabulous now. A few days ago, at end of November, they made an announcement concerning the Maurice Haynes film collection. Film is Fabulous and De Montfort University Cinema and Television History Research Centre are delighted to announce, they post on Facebook, that films from the private collection of the late Maurice Haynes, a collector from Kent who had an extensive collection of 16mm films, formed the fifth case study of the pilot scheme. His collection was amassed over 60 years with a keen interest in many subjects. Numerous short films and documentaries about engineering and construction, as well as travel and wildlife films. Most were stored in Maurice's home cinema room, with multiple projectors, a large screen and Dolby surround. He was very into his film, clearly. Now, this study is the latest taking place in situ at De Montfort University's Kimblin Library, with a special collections department. And these collections, they are catalogued and missing and rare items scanned and digital files, which is the original prints, usually returned to the copyright holders for preservation purposes as well. As I've said before, if film preservation, and to me, all manner of media preservation is important, but if film preservation and TV preservation is interest to you, then I would recommend that you either follow Film Is Fabulous on Facebook or you check out filmisfabulous.org.uk on a regular basis, because the work that is going on to take advantage of modern technology and make copies of these films for posterity is kind of humbling and warming. It's nice to know that this is happening. Now, I have mentioned before that I run a video game website and newsletter specifically about classic games, and the number of games that you see featured coming up regularly in the news, it's often the same titles or the same franchises for the same platforms. And very occasionally you get good news about games that were lost. Maybe they weren't released properly, or they were just completely forgotten about or whatever. That's the interesting thing to me, that the stuff that was lost and no one knew about, and you know, rescuing and rediscovering or discovering those titles is important. And preservation across the board is important, but I think it's important, vital, in fact, to recognise that franchise and share value and all those corporate concerns aside, these things have equal value, whether it's Sonic the Hedgehog or an old Firebird game. You know, these things all have equal value. They all played a part in people's lives, released or not. The, you know, unreleased games played a part in someone's life, the person who developed them. Media preservation across the board is something I'm increasingly interested in. So it's good to see Film Is Fabulous is active with its archival program. Apple Original Films has announced the definitive documentary on Fleetwood Mac. Now, you thought I was going to say Led Zeppelin, didn't you? Not yet. Yes, Apple Original Films has announced a new authorised documentary directed by five-time Academy Award nominee and Irving G. Talberg Memorial Award winner Frank Marshall, who's also done The Bee Gees, How Can You Mend a Broken Heart, The Beach Boys, and Rather. This is the first time that Fleetwood Mac have shared their extraordinary story in their own words. Now, I just want to underline this. There is a very good edition of Rock Family Trees from the mid-90s that has a lot of Fleetwood Mac in their own words. Includes some of the members of the band before the before Steve Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham joined. Is worth checking out because it is largely in their own words. To declare this as in their own words in the first time is, you know, that's okay, because there's been another, you know, 30 years since then. But it's not the first time, really. Director Frank Marshall says, "I'm fascinated by how this incredible story of enormous musical achievement came about. Fleetwood Mac somehow managed to merge their often chaotic and almost operatic personal lives into their own tale in real time, which then became legend. And this film is about the music and the people who created it." It looks unmissable, frankly. Whether you're interested in Fleetwood Mac or you just have an interest in soapy soap opera stories, or just the whole era, particularly the 1970s era of decadence and drug taking and wife swapping, etc. That is going to be coming along in 2025. The documentary does seem to focus on the Mick Fleetwood, John McVie, Christine McVie, Lindsey Buckingham and Stevie Nicks lineup rather than anything before or after, which most people don't talk about. So that will be interesting to see them focus just on that specific lineup of Fleetwood Mac and the various fallings out that they had. It appears that the documentary is simply called Fleetwood Mac, but I'm sure there'll be a better title later on. Now, speaking of documentary movies, I've already mentioned Becoming Led Zeppelin in a previous edition of the podcast, and we have got an official trailer for this documentary about, hands down, the greatest rock band of all time. Come on.
You could tell it was going to be a good cruise, but people wouldn't even book the band.
We knew something was in the air. I could feel it around me.
Everybody said, you're mad. You're completely crazy.
But I knew this was going to be the way to go.
It was an electric atmosphere. And that had been what I'd been waiting for.
We knew we were on the right track.
I wanted it to be something that they hadn't heard before.
First time we played together, it was stunning. It was like a gift from heaven, wasn't it?
That is going exclusively in IMAX on February the 7th. The trailer's been out in the US since October the 24th, although not on general release. So, yeah, I'm really excited about that. I just want to know how I can actually see it in the UK, and I don't really live near an IMAX cinema either. But it looks like it is absolutely going to be great. And, you know, a lot of bands get special movies made about them. Led Zeppelin really hasn't, mainly because I suppose maybe they've always liked to perpetuate their own mythology. Great marketing tool for them in the 1970s when no one knew what they looked like and they didn't release singles. Mind-blowing, isn't it? So, that is becoming Led Zeppelin. I'm stoked for that one. Really looking forward to that coming along in 2025. Okay, now, this is the final item today. And it's about one of those great British actors who turns up in all manner of things. Star Wars, Doctor Who, movies such as... Where can we start? With Nil and I. He wasn't in Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, but he was supposed to be. Many, many other top films. It's Richard E. Grant. And I was first aware of Richard E. Grant in the mid-90s, early to mid-90s, with Withenell and I, when Withenell and I had one of its resurgences. And although it turns out I had seen the fantasy film, is it called Warrior or something like that? I had seen that. Warlock. I had seen that. It turns out Richard E. Grant was, you may recall he did an advert for Argos with Julia Sawala, in which he plays some sort of washed up rock star or something. It was not the first time he's played a rock star on an advert. In 1987, Richard E. Grant was driving away after gigs in a Vauxhall Astra. I'm just going to play this ad for you. It absolutely blew my mind at first. So I had absolutely no recollection of the advert. Unfortunately, this is a mono recording.
Vauxhall announce a new member of the lineup, the Astra SRI.
While his bandmates are signing autographs
than any of its competitors.
Richard E. Grant goes out the back entrance.
You'll find no shortage of equipment.
Climbs into the Astra.
And now the SRI has a fuel-injected 1800 engine, making it capable of 123 miles an hour. Drive the new Astra SRI and leave the crowd behind. So many
roads. A nice, easy escape after the gig. So it's nice when you see people whose work you've admired over the years turn up in adverts before they were famous. Someone said there could be a TV show called that, couldn't there? You might call it Stars in Adverts Before They Were Famous. If you've made it this far through the podcast, well done. It's the end. Everything I've discussed with you is in the show notes. So if there's something you want to follow, if it's something you want to check out, whether it's the new Star Wars show, or if you want to back the Aid Salmon book, or buy that Star Trek game, just head to the show notes and click the appropriate link. This episode went out first on Patreon and a few days later on Spotify, Amazon, Apple Podcasts, etc. If you want to get your podcasts from us early, then join our Patreon. Become a patron of this podcast. It's free. I know. Am I crazy? Don't answer that one. So just head to www.patreon.com/Casturbis or go to casturbis.co.uk and click the Patreon button. I'll be back next week with a new edition, and hopefully James and I will be chatting about something in depth. Until then, it's bye from me.